إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد My dear brothers and sisters, we are talking about the issue of excellence, the issue of التقوى والإحسان. And إحسان is translated as excellence. In the context of getting the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. I mentioned to you some ways of measuring taqwa, of how we can measure our own taqwa, how we can measure our taqwa by the sense of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the huzur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives, and why this is important, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a measure for taqwa. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. So therefore we need to measure taqwa and see how much there is. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a measure for ihsan. And as I mentioned to you, the hadith of Mr. Sallam, where he said to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see him. Now for people thereafter, if you say, well, I understand this hadith and I know the, what it is referring to, but how do I actually measure ihsan in my life with regard to any particular thing? Say for example, I'm doing business. How do I know whether my business is at the level of ihsan or not? Whatever you are doing, upbringing of children, for example, or your family matters, treatment of wife, treatment of husband, whatever the case might be, what is the measurement of ihsan? How do I know whether I am at the level of ihsan or not? And that is the reason why, to give us this measure, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a very simple parameter. And that parameter was where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allah said that the best example for you, a good example for you, the best parameter for you, the best criterion for you, is the life of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a very straightforward, simple thing to ask and to check whatever we do against. There is a standard, and the standard is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, in this context, if you look at the seerah, and that's why it's important to, among the many reasons, to study the seerah. The life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is perhaps, I can probably say this confidently, that his life is the most varied and the most multifaceted life that you can ever imagine. And the reason for this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give us an example to check our lives against, no matter what we might be doing. Right? Because if you, for example, if you say, here is the life of, XYZ, whoever, Julius Caesar or something, right? What do you have? You have the life of a general. I'm not commanding any armies. What do I do with that? Maybe I can extract lessons from it, no doubt about that. I mean, one can learn from anything. But if I look at it directly and say, here is a situation, I am having an argument with my wife, I am having an argument with my husband, there is some tension between the two of us, and I want to make sure that I am on the path of ihsan, because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me. So let me go and see, in the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he ever have an argument with his wife? Yeah? You get exact examples. There was an incident where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, for some reason, Allah alam, she was upset with him, and they had some argument. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu came into the house, and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had access, because he was also Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha's father. So he was mahram, he could walk in, walk out, and he was the closest companion, the closest friend of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he walked in. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, he said, okay, so if you Ask your father. What? Ask him what does he think. This argument between us. Ask your father. So Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa said to him, you tell him. You tell him. Meaning she's telling Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you tell my father. And then she said, and tell him the truth. And this shows also the closeness of relationship between the two. Now Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu couldn't handle that. The moment she said, and tell him the truth, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu slapped her hard. He hit her hard on the face. To the extent that some blood came out from her mouth. He said, you are telling the Nabi to tell the truth. And he slapped her. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately, and to the best of my knowledge, this is the only incident where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam got angry with Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately said to Abu Bakr Siddiq, get out of my house. He said, get out. Abu Bakr Siddiq left radhiyallahu anhu. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Aisha Siddiqa, he holds her and he says to her, see, this is the problem of getting outsiders involved in our personal affairs. And just think about this incident. He says, this is the problem with getting outsiders involved in our personal, between husband and wife, between personal affairs. Now, where will you find an example like this? We all have arguments. We all have issues. We all get outsiders involved. And you know what kind of complications that creates. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there are instances, of course, where people, you know, wise people come and help. But I'm saying, generally speaking, the more number of people you get involved in any marital argument, the more complicated it becomes and the more problematic it becomes. Even parents. A lot of marriages fall apart not because the husband and wife, the boy and the girl had an argument. They fall apart because the parents on both sides get involved and they create so much of confusion that end of the day, it breaks. If these two had left it, if they had sorted it out on their own, if they had not informed their parents, they would still be married, they would have passed through. But because they got involved, this one, she tells her father, mother, he tells his father, mother, whatever. And the next thing you know, there's all kinds of confusion. This is an example from this era of Rasulullah. So when we look at our lives and we say, well, I am doing this or that, or I am involved in this matter or that matter. If you say, what is the measure, the parameter of ihsan? The parameter is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us look at our own lives and say, whatever I am doing, how close is it to the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How close, what did he do? Yeah? I have mentioned this story before, a true story. I was witness to it myself. When I lived in America in 97, there was this African-American brother. He was in his 20s. He was the only Muslim in his entire family. He became Muslim. I don't even know how he came to Islam, but he was the only Muslim in his whole family. He was a huge guy. He was massive. He was very tall and he was very fat. He was, huge. He was also very strong. He was not just, just fat. He was also very, very strong, but he was also very heavy. I mean, extremely heavy. I remember one day, in our masjid, my sheikh wanted to have his desk was a huge, big desk, and they wanted it moved. And he was saying, I needed to move from here to there, and let's wait for some more people to come and we'll ask. Then this guy came in. So he said, what's happening? I said, the sheikh wants it to be moved. He said, move aside. And he just picked it up and put it there. He was very, very strong. Now I remember with him, every single thing, he would be putting on his socks. He would ask Sheikh, how did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put on his socks? Everything. I mean, this man was not an alim. He was not nothing. He had just come into Islam. Allah knows best how much Quran he knew or what he knew. But what I do know is that every living minute of his life the man spent in the masjid. So he would go to work, come back, he would be in the masjid the whole time. And he always kept on asking, always he would ask this question for every single thing. Shaykh, how did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do this? How did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do that? Small, whatever the thing is. Then one day we heard that he was in hospital. So my brother-in-law and I, Dr. Hazraji, we went to the hospital to see what had happened to him. He woke up in the morning, he had a very massive headache. So he had a beat-up old Jeep. He drove to Bay State Medical Center, to the hospital, and collapsed. Now, evidently there was something in his brain, you know, hematoma or something, and that burst. So they took him into emergency, they kept him there. He was there for about 2 or 3 days, and then he passed away. He died in his 20s, right? So now his funeral, we to go to the Salatul Janaza, this was midweek. Yeah. Now in America, midweek, you know, I mean, if you have a funeral, usually what they will do is, in many places, midweek you die, they put the body in the freezer and then they will bury you on the weekend. Because, you know, who will come for the Salatul Janaza, middle of the day, midweek? So, we thought, well, they said that there is going to be Salatul Janaza for him. So, Dr. Ali and I, we said, you know, we have to go. So, definitely we should go. When we go there, this place, the entire parking lot of the masjid is full of people. And there are Arabs, there are Indians, Pakistanis, there are people of all kinds of races. And the car, now I am thinking to myself, this is some unknown African American, single, 20 something, you know, year old guy. He's a poor guy. He's not as if he's some, you know, president of America. Who are these people? Whole parking lot is full of people. And Allah knows best, I used to be in that masjid my whole time also. So I can say that I knew practically every musalli in that masjid. Now I see some people, of course, I know. But others, all strangers. All strangers. The whole parking lot is full of people. All strangers. Before the Salatul Janaza, Sheikh gave a short talk about the brother, and he wept and we all wept. And this is the thing he mentioned. He said, this man used to ask about the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for every single thing. Whatever the thing might be. Right? And then from there, we took him to the cemetery. He was so big, we used a JCV with a sling to lower him into the grave. You could not do it by yourself. He was so, you know, such a big man. My point is, who are those people? Till today, I don't know. I'm talking about 97, this is 2017, 20 years ago. Allah knows. So Allah sends. And this is the choice that we have to make. All of this tamasha we are seeing in the world. Today people do all kinds of things and you tell them, they won't listen and they want to, you know, do things because it satisfies their nafs, or they want to show the world, you know, what kind of idiots they are. Allah knows what they want to, what do you want to show the world by your actions? What are you actually showing? You think you are showing something, but what are you actually showing? But a day will come when we will be alone. I still remember somebody, I won't mention any names, but I was talking to him about this issue of marriages and not doing ostentatious marriages. And I told him, see the marriage of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's daughter, how he did it. And may Allah forgive the person. He tells me, Mere Sahab, Allah diya bol ke kar raha na. To kya Nabi fakir the? Huh? نبی فقیر تھے, پیسہ تمہارے پاس ہے صرف. انا للہ و انا الیہ راجعون. یہ مسلمان کا جواب ہے, مے اللہ پروٹیکٹ اس فرام آور سیلفز. واللہ جو اللہ دیا وہ لے بھی سکتا ہے, یہ بھی یاد رکھو, جو اللہ دیا وہ لے بھی سکتا ہے. مے اللہ پروٹیکٹ اس فرام آور سیلفز. دیٹس وائی نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سیڈ دیر ول بی ہی ہیلڈ ہز ٹنگ لائک دس اینڈ ہی سیڈ مور پیپل ول گو ان ٹو جہنم بیکاز آف دس دین اینی تھنگ ایلس. May Allah protect us from ourselves, may Allah protect us from kibr, from takabbur, and make us into people who are thankful to Him Jalla Jalaluhu. Yeah. You want to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when somebody gives you an example of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you say that, oh Allah gave me, so I am doing it. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept His Nabi without resources. His Nabi celebrated the wedding of His daughter simply because He had no alternative. Is this your aqeedah about the Nabi? He did this because he was helpless. Yeah. Is this your aqeedah about the Nabi? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted, He could have made dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have sent whatever from the Jannah for him. Why did he do it? Why did he do it the way he did it? So that we have an example for excellence. So we have an example to show that if I want to celebrate the daughter of my son or the wedding of my son or my daughter, this is the example of ihsan. And what is the example of ihsan? The wedding of the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the further away your celebration is from that example, the further away it is from ihsan, the more it is in zalala, the more it is in misguidance, and kullu zalalatin fi nar. I'm not sitting here making fatwa. I'm giving you the example of the seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you decide. You decide whether the wedding of Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu anha is a standard of excellence or not. And if you say this is not a standard of excellence, then it is between you and Allah. I have nothing more to say in the matter. But if you say this is the standard of excellence, then you compare your wedding with that wedding and you see how close it is to that or how far away it is from that. You don't need, and I don't need anyone to sit in judgment and to make some statement about right or wrong. You can see, I can see. I am giving you here a parameter. I am not telling you right and wrong. I am saying here is a parameter set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I gave you the reference of the ayat of the Quran as well as the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq and to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him and not to be fooled by shaitan and by the cohorts and the friends of shaitan into doing things or participating in things which are clearly against the sunnah and clearly against the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. Because remember, the one doing and the one participating are equally responsible. On the day of judgment, they will stand together. Make no mistake. Make no mistake, unless you were a security guard or something and you were there, or you were somebody's driver, that's a different issue. But if you were a guest and you accepted that invitation and you went there, then you are a participant. You like it or not, you are a participant and you are equally responsible for whatever is happening. Good or bad. If it is good, then alhamdulillah, you are the recipient of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it was not good, then you are the recipient of the hitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make absolutely no mistake. وَقَالُوا لَوْ كُنَّا نَسْمَعُ وَنَاقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ. You heard the ayat in Surah Al-Fajr, in Surah Al-Mulk. They will ask,
Alam yatikum nadir? The malaika will ask the people being thrown into the hellfire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say they are only kuffar and mushrikeen, whoever it is, the mujrimeen. Alam yatikum nadir? Nobody came to warn you? Nobody told you that this day will come? The malaika will ask, how come you landed here? No one told you? Alam yatikum nadir? No nadir came to you, no warner came to you? Kalu bala? وَلَقَدْ جَعْنَا نَذِيرٌ فَكَذَّبْنَا. No, of course. Yes, of course, the Nazir came. Yes, of course, people warned us. There were people who were sent to warn us. They will say. But we denied them. فَكَذَّبْنَا. We denied them. We told them he's a fool. He talks nonsense. فَكَذَّبْنَا. وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ. وَقَالُوا نَسْمَعُ وَنَاقِلُ مَا كُنَّا فِي أَصْحَابِ السَّيْرِ. They themselves will say, if we had any sense, do you think we would have been here? Who is saying this? All of these smart ones who tell you, all the cool ones, who tell you do this, do that, forget this, all dakhyan usi budde, kya hi bol rahe tere, humne kya karne ka hai, hum to modern log hai. And then see what Allah says. فَعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ. They اعتراف کریں گے اپنے گناہ کا. They will accept their فَسُوقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّيْرِ. Allah will say, go to hell. Literally, that's my translation of فَسُوقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّيْرِ. Go into Jahannam. فَعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ. Accepting your sin on that day is no use. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us. Allah has given us all that we need to live a life which is obedient to Him, Jalla Jalalu. And that is the only way to success. There is no goodness in the disobedience of Allah. And there is no evil in the obedience of Allah. What is the standard for the obedience of Allah? The life of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to lead our lives according to the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to mold our lives on that standard, not to be led astray by anybody for any reason, and to do what is right because we know what is right. And if we don't know what is right, to go and find out what is right and do that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ourselves and from shaitan and from the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the enemies of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.